Our high school guidance counselor used to ask us what you would do if you had $1 million, didn't have to work. And then invariably, whatever you'd say, that was supposed to be your career. So if you wanted to fix old cars, then you're supposed to be an auto mechanic.
So what did you say?
I never had an answer. I guess that's why I'm working at Inatech.
No, you're working at Inatech because that question is bullshit to begin with. If everyone listened to her, there'd be no janitors because no one would clean up if they had $1 million.
If I had $1 million, if I had $1 million.
Talking about millions of dollars.
What would you do if you had $1 million?
I'll tell you what I'd do, man. Two chicks at the same time, man.
We're living in a material world and I am a material girl. Or boy.
Well, what about you now? What would you do?
Besides two chicks at the same time?
Oh, yeah.
Nothing.
Nothing, huh?
I would relax. I would sit on my ass all day. I would do nothing.
Well, you don't need $1 million to do nothing, man. Take a look at my cousin. He's broke, don't do
If I had $1 million, if I had $1 million, well, I'd buy you a house.
Well, welcome back to Action Giants. I'm Tom Howell. Jay-Z, Jessica Zaluski on the board. Mr. Matt Weber is, should we say he's freezing in Denver, Jay-Z?
Probably.
Let's just say, when he's off duty, our sports editor didn't watch the game and see how cold it was in Denver. And as our meteorological guy, our weatherman, he failed to note that it was going to be 35 degrees in Denver today. And he's out there, hey, did you bring a coat? No, I wouldn't need a coat. Well, because it's going to be 35. You might want a coat. So Lou says if he catches him for lunch, he'll be happy to buy him on credit a Air Force sweatshirt. So I'll have that going for him. S&P futures down 1250. Dow futures down 111. NASDAQ futures down 31. Oil up 64 cents. 10-year yield 3.25. Up another 0.02%. So we had yesterday we were down in the morning. We've been doing this like a lot of days. We were down heavy yesterday morning with all the rest of the world down. And we crept back. We actually were up on the day on the Dow and almost made it back on the S&P. So we've been doing a lot of that. A lot of the buying and the dipping. And you know, that's obviously been the play for quite some time. You know, and we will see if it continues to be the play. I mean, most people would think that I've seen this before. When markets don't necessarily want to go down, or even when they're steady, don't necessarily want to go up. But sometimes you'll see it start to move, and then, you know, people sell into it if it's going up, or buy into it if it's going down, and all of a sudden one day the buyers don't show up, and everybody looks up on the hill and say, where is that Lone Ranger in Tonto? And they're not here today. But yesterday they were here. Now this morning we're down again. Now, are we going to test the buy the dippers yet one more time and they'll be up to the challenge like they have been? Probably. But, you know, we'll see. The, interesting, the politics seems to have simmered down. So look at all this, Jay-Z. Just when you think, I'm going to ask you, what generation are you? Do you even know?
Millennial.
No, you're not. You're way too young for a millennial.
I don't know. I told you. I mean, they don't, like, tell you this when you're born. You just have to, like, figure it out. And I've just never taken the time to really...
You just never figured it out.
I always get, you're millennial or you're Generation Y.
Yeah, those are people who don't know what the hell they're talking about. But you're definitely not you're not a millennial. Anyway. So, I think some... Something's weird the politics of the situation we don't have to go into, but there's been some repressed thoughts that people didn't used to outpeep, but now they do because we have a president who outpeeps all kinds of crap, and it seems like it's okay for him, but not for anybody else. He seems to have an odd view of the world, but you take psychology?
I did in high school.
What's the, do you take any Freud?
Sounds familiar.
Well, what's the age where you're, you go from some stage, is it the ego stage where you cry, somebody has to feed you, you poop, somebody has to clean it up? I mean, it's, is that the ego stage of development when you're between, like, I don't know, 6 months and whatever? I wonder, you know, we seem to have a few people in Washington that have, on both sides, that never got out of that stage, just saying, but, so yesterday I'm redirected to the health club, right? I decided I'm going to have one more year of softball next year, and I'm going to start working out and really give it a shot. So, of course, after 2 days of back on the bench, back doing other kinds of stuff, I feel like I'm half dead. But that's okay. I mean, I remember, you know, you're ready for that when you first start out and up your game. And so I'm on the bike watching one of those stupid sports shows, and there's two guys behind me talking, one of whom I know, and they're two, like, conservative guys. And people, sometimes I think people, you need to tape people's conversations, play it back to them. You don't have to criticize, just play it back to them. So they start talking about the election and how those liberals, the liberals now is not just, it's not just somebody from another party. It's an absolute dirty word. I mean, to the point where the way, and some people wouldn't mind putting them on ships and pulling the plug out halfway across the Atlantic. I mean, it's an absolute dirty word. They're just these disgusting people that want my money. They're too loud and God knows what else. And, so they start talking about how, the liberals are bitching about the fact that, you know, the Electoral College, you know, there's three million plus more votes that Hillary got than Trump, which is, you know, true. And we've gone over a million times why I think this Electoral College is outdistance itself, because it incentivizes people in this day and age that are very, very TV savvy and everything, incentivizes people from both sides not to vote. Because if you're in North Dakota and you know it's going to go right, either you're a Democrat or Republican, what's your incentive to get off the sofa? There's really none. Same way in Illinois. And they say, well, Illinois, why would a Republican vote? Well, it's really ignorant, because why would a Democrat vote? If you already know you have it. Anyway, these two Neanderthals are sitting there talking about how some guy was on one of the Fox shows. He's this big Jewish guy. He used to be a wrestler. You know, he's a big guy. So it was, I guess that means you gotta believe him or something. He says to the announcer, you know, this is all bull, because clearly if we didn't know in California, what's the point of voting? If we thought we could vote, we'd have all kinds of guys coming out, and we'd have way more than 3 million people would show up, and like the conservatives would win. So, Jay-Z, you're in college, you're learning. What would possess anybody to think that they have an idea of what side or the other the people who don't show up are? How could you know? They don't vote. How would anybody have that knowledge? That if all of a sudden we stole the couch out from under all these people, that most of them would be conservative and Republican and not Democrat, or most of them would be Democrat. How would you know? They're not there.
Yeah, I mean, there is no way to know. It's just
these guys
jumping to conclusions.
But he was this big Jewish guy. He knew. He had it all figured out. By the way, you know he was a wrestler?
Well, if you're confident enough about anything when you say it to people, people will believe you, so.
Is that scary or what?
Yeah.
So then, I'm on my way down to the truck. I walk through the elite locker room. I'm in the not-so-elite locker room. So I wander through, and there's these two Chicago guys. I'm talking about, did you know, by the way, that we have the worst concealed carry law in the country? I bet you didn't know that.
I did not. Can you explain it further?
Well, I know we had a concealed carry law, and you had to go take a bunch of hours of training and stuff, which makes sense to me. Do you know that our concealed carry law, the guy's actually got to be moving toward you for you to be able to shoot him? And what an outrage that is. None of the other ones have that. What a horrible law that is. The guy's actually got to be moving toward you, creating a threat before you can just blast him. This is an abomination. See?
I mean,
how could somebody say something like that?
Sounds pretty logical to me.
Yeah, no. You mean you can't just shoot the guy wherever you damn well feel? He's actually got to be coming toward you? I'm like, do these guys, I mean, I feel like I need to be Howard Cosell running around with his little tape recorder and like shoving a mic in these people's faces and say, I mean, but is the cat totally out of the bag? That people always just think this stuff and just never said it? I mean, I just, very bizarre.
Very.
So what, are there people, pushing for the election in DePaul? I got this one guy who keeps, emailing me. I don't know the protocol. I guess on a podcast, we do whatever we want, huh? I'm dying to ask the guy on. He's running for alderman. Like, just by himself, running against whoever our older lady is. I don't know if he's got much of a chance, but he's going door to door, and I'm getting emails from the guy, everything. He's trying his fanny off, and I mean, I almost feel like, I don't even know what his politics are. I almost feel like giving the guy a shout and let him come on the air, at least ask him what he's doing. Do you think he has a chance or what? But talk about going against the grain. Going against an entrenched alder person is almost impossible here. I mean, if you put your stuff up, somebody will take it down. Try putting it in a bar. Nobody will put it in a bar or a restaurant because they'll get nothing but inspected if the guy loses. It takes some stones, and you know, I'm proud of the guy. I don't know how he's going to do it. Maybe I should invite the guy on. Anyway, I was doing some research. Now, you're never supposed to do this, as I was told by a right-wing guy a few weeks ago. That's just fake news. And I said, well, no, not exactly. It's something that I went and read. No, it's just fake news because it doesn't agree with. Anyway, I was looking at this household data annual averages. Now, read this, Jay-Z. You'll go to sleep real fast. This thing has, it goes all the way back to 1947. And then, of course, I have the more recent version. Did you know that what year do you think that you actually enter the workforce? Where you're counted as being in the workforce?
18.
16, actually, which I was kind of surprised when I first saw this. But in 1947, it was 14, believe it or not.
That's when I entered the workforce.
Well,
I don't know.
You were babysitting?
No, I had a worker's permit, and everyone told me that I wasn't going to be able to get a job, but I did.
What were you doing?
I worked at a fast food restaurant called
really?
T-Bob's.
You could do that at 14?
Yep.
I had to get a worker's permit. The only thing I thought you could do it in my era, I caddied. I don't know if there was anything else I could do. Anyway, I caddied. You needed one of those things to caddy, too. What do they call it? What is it actually?
A worker's permit. I don't know.
But it's before your... Anyway. So anyway, this particular thing has civilian non-institutional population, which I guess means people that aren't in jail or incarcerated, mental illness or something. And there's a civilian labor force. Total percentage of population, and then the employed percentage of population, blah, blah, blah. And this is where everybody gets all these numbers. Then there's the backside. It says not in labor force. And the thing that is interesting, Jay-Z, and of course it's very hard to read, between 1970 and 1980, we added 30 million people to the civilian non-institutional population. Out of that 30 million people, in the labor force, that turned out to be 78 million up to 99 million. But out of those people, this is the interesting part. 18 of the 20 million people ended up working.
Wow.
Which is, and only 2 million people ended up in this not in labor force column. We only went from 54 to like 57, 58. So maybe I should have 3 million people. So, but almost everybody made it into the labor force. But now you look at the numbers from, 2000 to 2010. We put 212 million people we start out with, and we start with 237. Okay, so that's 25 million people had to go someplace. And, 136 to 139, only 3 million were hired. Okay, now 3 million to 25, and the amount in the not in workforce went from 69 million to 83. So, 15 million of those people went into the not in workforce thing, which is totally bizarre compared to the earlier, you know, eras. We went every year the number in the right hand column was in the 50s, which is people in school, people in high school, people in college, people in grad school. That types of thing. People were sick. And yet, now all of a sudden, you know, 80% of the people that entered the workforce are in this not in workforce thing. Now, I don't know if it's, some of it is probably demographic, as some of the listeners have chimed in, because some of the baby boomers are retiring. So some of it is a demographic shift. But a lot of it is just, I mean, it's this long-term disability. It's whole towns where you've lost factories and people are just gone. And, you know, I just, whenever I see this whole, this fiasco about the, and I'm not saying, I see real weaknesses on both sides, this whole Kavanaugh thing, and I see both sides really, you know, grabbing on straws on this whole mess, and the fact is the dude's in. But now whether it was worth, I mean, that's how this guy votes or doesn't vote, I mean, it's gonna make a difference in a lot of stuff that, I don't think he's ever going to vote the way I want him to, but he's in. Okay, so but the point is, what are we doing to attack the real root causes of problems in the country. Same stuff that I've been doing way more research on the fall of Rome. God, we're doing the same thing. We're degrading our money. We got everybody on the dole. we're paying other people to fight our wars. I mean, it's what is? Did you guys have any anybody care about the Supreme Court person in DePaul or no?
Yeah, a ton of people, but I mean,
plus or minus, or was it totally divided?
Divided.
Well, between who and who?
I mean, I don't. Honestly, there's so many. What's the word? Strong-willed people at DePaul. I kind of just stay off the topic of politics.
Well, so politics was a big topic when I was in college because you might ended up behind a jungle with a gun the next day. So people were very attuned to what was going on in Vietnam, as you could probably imagine.
I can definitely imagine.
Because it affected, certainly affected you. But I got to believe this, female versus other thing was kind of going on in the backdrop of this. Had to be a big topic in a lot of your classes and stuff. Maybe not so much in the classes, but around the place. Well,
for sure.
What were the lines of demarcation? Who was on one side? Who was on the other?
Can you elaborate? I'm sorry.
Well, I mean, who's for? Who was against? I mean, I think I can probably suspect, but I'm not sure. Who is pro Kavanaugh? Anybody?
I mean, I'm sure there people were. Like, people would, you know, play, like, devil's advocate or whatever, but kind of seems like they were on his side. But, again, it kind of was complicated.
Yeah, well, it is complicated. There's no question about that. It's what's interesting to me, Jess, is when you there's a lot of people who are really for a lot of, shall we say, some of the entitled people on Earth. And I'm going to say that nobody from Marist High School is going to get one of these deals. Nobody from DePaul is going to get one of these deals. I'm sorry. Nobody from Notre Dame. I mean, I don't. The idea that some people really love this very conservative, I got my money, I can't let anybody else. Because, you know, Jess, if you have money and you have nice homes and everything, it's no good if everybody else has it. It's only if you only have it, right?
Of course.
Yeah, I mean, if everybody get in your country club, what's the point?
What is the point?
Yeah, what is the point? The weird part is I never felt that way, so I feel it's an odd thing. I don't mind on a trading floor if I had a big day if a bunch of other people did too. I mean, I felt better actually if I wasn't the only one. But anyway, I just have a different mindset. But it's surprising to me how people love this entitlement kind of thing, and they really just don't understand it. I mean, one day your buddy Lou was on, and I said, Lou, what would happen if there was like a opening, a you know, big time opening here, like a prosecutor or something, or even somebody a decent head of the veterans, head of something. What if somebody were to say, gee, you're looking for somebody in the state security area? This guy Chief seems to know a lot about security. This guy, he's been doing it for 35 years. He's been a trader. He's been clearing firm side. He's been managed money side. He's been everything. He seems to know a lot. Got a pretty good education. Or what about you? What if I were to say, here's a guy that needs to be a prosecutor in these areas? He goes, Chief, if you ever brought up a name like ours, not only would you be laughed out, but you'd never be asked that question again, and people would think horribly of you. You and I just don't have the pedigree. We don't come from the right places where people have been given money, where our parents have been involved. Not that everybody, you know, that people can't get in after a while. I mean, you can, but I mean, if you really make that your life's work. But he says it's just never going to happen. But why do you think that most people? I mean, you think the average person in DePaul that's studying, doing well, you know, the life looks good. I mean, whatever. They're going to go to grad school. They're going to do this. They're going to get a good job. They're going to make some money. Good for them. They have no idea that they're not even part of this ruling elite.
Yeah, I mean, well, that's what we're told to believe. We're told to believe that, you know, if you put your nose to the grindstone, you can do it. But I guess when you actually look deeper into it, we don't really have a chance.
Well, you have somewhat of a chance. I mean, it is still America, but it's a very modest chance. You know, I mean, this dude, his old man was a big time lobbyist, knew everybody in Washington, and then the man was a judge in that area.
Well, I mean, that's kind of with any situation.
Yeah.
Like, even with big companies and stuff, they're really hard to infiltrate unless you know someone or you have some type of deciding factor on your resume that's just, like, too hard to pass.
Well, I'm not saying it's not human. I'm just saying it's probably very human. But why do you think people don't recognize that it's there? And somehow they think they could be that guy. It's like somebody who thinks they could be Drew Brees, who set up the record last night. No, you can't. Drew Brees is a once-in-a-lifetime. I mean, the only guy I've ever seen who was that fast at that size and could move like he can was Joe Theismann. You know, and Joe is another spectacular quarterback. I mean, he didn't have the records that Drew Brees, because he sat behind Billy Kilmer forever, but he probably wasn't as good as Drew Brees. But still, he was on that same kind of level. But why do people think, yeah, that could be me? No, it can't. I mean, what are we talking
about? It's like human nature to think that way, though.
Well, I mean, I guess. Everybody looks at a trading floor and says, that could be me. Oh, no, it couldn't. It's a huge skill set. There's a guy that comes into a series. You know Big John? He's a security guard now?
Yeah.
Well, Big John was one of two people. Well, there were a couple people that worked for firms, and they're kind of the private guys. But everybody else in the OEX, there were 300 and some people. I'm going to say 180 of them probably used either Big Spoo John or Spoo Ray. Where those guys would have clients in the crowd, and they would flash you to S&P at the CME where the futures were trading. You couldn't wait for the screen. These guys would tell you where they were bid and where they were offered. I mean, for those that are obviously stocks and jacks, you're looking to trade. When you look at the price of IBM, Jay-Z, and the last price is $147.90 here on my screen this morning, down 49 cents. What does that tell you?
Can you repeat the question?
Oh, when IBM sits here and says $147.90 is the last price, what does that tell you?
Unsure.
Well, it tells you just that. It was the last price. It doesn't tell you where you can buy it or where you can sell it. Right? So
yeah.
if it's $147.80 bid at $148, somebody's going to be flashing you 80 bid at even.
That was a trick question, by the way.
Well, no, but I'm saying people look at a stock and they see the price. They think that that's where they can buy it or sell it. It may or may not be. The price is where if you want to buy it, there's a buy price for you and there's a sell price for you.
Absolutely.
But that's, again, not all that intuitive. You look at the last price, and all the last price is a historical note. It's all. But these guys would, their hands, these guys, were, they had forearms like Papa. They would flash signals literally for 10 hours a day before the opening, they'd be flashing them. And it would flash signals, and all of a sudden you'd signal, and you'd go, buy me two. They know right away who you are, your acronym, or who you cleared through, and they would say where you are, and they would keep their eyes on. They probably had 15 orders going in any minute, and they would be able to keep all those in their head, and turn around and say, those are your two. You have filled at 60.
Yeah, that's impressive.
And they never made a mistake. I mean, I'm not saying never, but very, very rare. Very rare. Because they'd have somebody over and check with you, but very rare. And, I mean, it was a skill set, you know, that nobody cares about now because everything's done by computers, but people have, you know, pretty interesting skill sets if you put a regular person in that job, the guy'd make it to 831. You know, I mean, there's a massive learning curve and a massive skill set. But some people who think, yeah, that could be me. I mean, boy, you gotta look in the mirror once in a while. It's like me going out to Arlington Park and looking at a Jackie and go, that could be me. You know, imagine me as a Jackie.
Yeah, well, I mean, a job like that,
driver,
like,
maybe,
there are literally physical restrictions. But I think overall that it's human nature to think, like, oh, that could be me. And oftentimes, I kind of disagree with you. I think that if you're put in the situation, like, to learn a skill set like that, an average person could do it. They had the opportunity to learn. But you don't learn that stuff in, like, regular school.
No. Believe me. I'm one of these guys that everybody, I really honestly do believe that anybody who puts their mind to it can kind of do a lot of things. But you look at, I see you with all of a sudden, you know, you say you have some kind of misfortune, you're going to work two jobs. You're not Tim Geithner, whose dad's going to, all of a sudden, where's Jay-Z? Well, she had to quit because she's a Supreme Court clerk this summer. How the hell did she do that? Well, old man was pissed off she was hanging around with the wrong gang, so he gave her this job. I mean, that's not going to happen to you. It didn't happen to me. Tim Geithner didn't walk the same road you and I are walking. You're walking and I walked, or any of the listeners. You know, everybody somehow thinks that they did.
Another thing with that, though, too, is, you know, when you said they won't, like, understand, going back to entitlement is what I'm trying to get at. They don't understand because they've never experienced our reality, though. Like, it's just,
That part I get, but what I want, my point this morning, if there is one, is our people have never experienced theirs. You think
so? Neither of us will really understand.
I'm saying, but how many situation. People? How many people have you talked to think that Kavanaugh is like them or Tim Geithner is like them? Was a Democrat? They're not. But oh, I know all kinds of people. As long as they're Republican, he's my guy. Or as long as he's Democrat, he's my guy. No, they're not. I mean, John Kerry and Bush were in, as my mom said to me, why are we voting between two C students that both lay naked in a coffin looking up at dead animals? And they're the same person. George Bush and Al Gore are the same person. They grew up in a family that always ran a corporate, the government dole forever. Their dad was in government forever. They just happened to have a slightly different friend set is all really what it comes down to. S&P futures down 1250, Dow futures down 111, NASDAQ futures down 31. Come back, we'll have Mr. Joel Anconin talk about the market and some Michigan football.
Hello, this is Tom Howe, the Chief. We've talked a lot on the show about risk and suitability, about how your portfolio should match your age, income, and risk appetite. It's been hard for investors to maintain that suitability in the last several years due to a Fed strategy that has driven interest rates to virtually zero. You may have even heard that the Fed was trying to drive conservative investors to a riskier portfolio on purpose, for whatever reason. I'm sure you're aware of investors that took some increased risk, such as longer-term fixed-income securities, and are now unhappy with that choice. At PTI, we've always stressed total portfolio risk awareness and tried to minimize chasing returns in a tough environment. Well, now it looks like maybe interest rates are moving more towards historical levels. Everyone needs to be aware of what that continued movement might do to your portfolio, both good and bad. We also have a stock market that seems to have stalled, at least for the short term. I think it is time for everyone to take a serious look at their goals, their risks, and their portfolios. Do they match? If not, we can help. We have a signature protected index program. We have ways to hedge against interest risk. We can make that portfolio right for you again. Go to PTISecurities.com or call us right now. The market can change very rapidly. That's PTISecurities.com.
Hi, I'm Audrey Johnson, an owner of Home Source Realty and a frequent contributor to Stocks and Jocks. If you're nervous about the stock market and considering diversification, or are looking for a rate of return way better than your banks, consider adding rental properties to your portfolio. Whether it's a condo, single family, or multi-unit building, I can help you select a property that meets your financial needs. Call or text me at 708-349-3456. That's 708-349-3456. Or visit my website at myhomesourcerealty.com. That's myhomesourcerealty.com.
Hello, I'm David Andelman, founder and president of DAX Research, a registered commodity trading advisor. I'm also a wealth manager with PTI and a frequent contributor to the Stocks and Jocks radio show. For more than 30 years, professional traders at the CME, including four past CME presidents, have chosen DAX Research to help guide their trading. That same research is available to you. We are offering three research newsletters: the Daily News, our Daily Stock and Futures Trading Recommendations, and our twice weekly top three tiers of recommended stocks. Each of these reports are available via email. To benefit from the same research professionals have used for more than three decades, call me and get 2 weeks free with a 1 month subscription, or you may also call me for a free portfolio analysis to see how we can work together to build your future. I'm David Andelman, president of DAX Research. Call toll free 1-800-821-4968. Stock and futures have risk of loss and are not suitable for everyone.
Hello, this is Tom Howell, the Chief. Confused about investing these days? I suspect you are not alone. Investing was never easy, although at times it may have seemed so. I think one reason behind the current concern, although maybe not explained as such, is how the fluctuation in the American dollar and the associated politics is affecting your investments and your wealth. It may not be enough to make some money in your investments. You may need now to make enough to exceed the amount that your leadership is depreciating the value of the dollars you've worked your whole life to accumulate. That same leadership has seen fit to maneuver risk-free interest rates to near zero. Providing positive risk-averse returns in a zero-interest and declining real wealth environment is by far the toughest assignment I've ever had in my years as a money manager. I'm sure that a lot of you have heard that one way to possibly deal with this problem is to invest in so-called hard currencies like silver and gold, the idea being that they will retain their relative value in the face of devaluation of paper currencies like the dollar. To be honest, I have never been a gold bug. I've always had faith that having enough dollars and a good investment strategy was good enough. Now I'm not so sure. But I do know that if I did invest in gold or silver, I'd want to do it in the same manner as we do with PTI for investments in the market, with defined risk. If you feel the need to invest in gold or silver, we can do it using the same strategies that we use for our protected index program. No matter what you invest in, we feel that you need to know and control your risk. Find us at PTISecurities.com, and it's PTISecurities.com.
Is your business being challenged by the complexities surrounding healthcare reform or other matters related to human resources management? If so, then Cognos HR can help. A longtime friend and contributor to the Stocks and Jocks radio program, Cognos HR provides its clients with a perfect blend of strategic consulting and day-to-day HR management to drive overall improvement in business performance. Companies that join the Cognos HR family are better able to manage healthcare costs, enhance benefit offerings, and improve employee satisfaction by leveraging our access to Fortune 500 benefits. Our innovative onboarding and payroll technology, along with our constant attention to detail, enables us to provide the highest level of quality service to our clients. Now, your time and energy can be focused on generating business and increasing your bottom line. We'll take care of the rest. For more information, call us at 630-401-8810 or search us on the web at CognosHR.com. Cognos HR, innovation in human resources. Licensed in Illinois and Arizona.
Stocks, jocks,
Stocks and Jocks.
Stocks and Jocks.
You are out of control.
Right here, right now, right here, right now, right now.
Well, welcome back to Stocks and Jocks. I'm Tom Alshie, Jay-Z on the board. Tim's controlling Canada in a second. SP Futures, we're looking pretty good now. We're down 16 and a quarter. Dow Futures down 148. NASDAQ Futures down 45. I'm not exactly sure. This is kind of where we were yesterday before we came all the way back to even. Now we're trying it again to the downside today, which is a little strange. Well, up 44 cents, 74.73. 10-year yield, 3.246. I guess you could almost round that off. 3.25, highest since 2011. I'm sure that's a lot to do with it. Tax down. Everything's down in Europe, but not heavy. Tax down 58.5%. Puts you down 32.5%. Back around on 18.4%. Over in Asia, kind of a mixed bag here. We have Nikkei now another 314, 1.3%. Hang Seng up 4, 27.21. Remember they had that huge adjustment yesterday, down like 4% because they were closed for a couple days. Hang Seng down 29, so call that almost flat, 0.1%. Like I said, West Texas up 44, Brent up 71, spread is now $9.90. Natural gas, and Joel is going to explain this to me. I have no idea. 3.34. This thing is up 60 cents in the last 2 months after being stuck at 274 plus or minus 5 cents for a period of years almost, it seemed. RBOB 2.09, and we've got gold up 40 cents, silver down a penny, nothing much going on there. Jay-Z, what do you guys for us? Traffic, weather, sports.
Thanks, Chief. Good morning, everyone. The time is now 6:36. Chicago weather is mostly clear this morning with a high of 83 and a low of 69. Phoenix has sunny skies all day with a high of 80 and a low of 59. Only one score to report today, which is the Bulls, who lost to the Hornets, ending the game 110-104. And one thing to report in traffic, which is some closure between Cicero Avenue going south and Augusta Boulevard due to a police investigation. Back to you.
I mean, they're looking for bullet casings.
Indeed they are.
Yes, they are. Joel, how are you? Joel with us? He was with us. I assume Joel will be back. I'm looking for bullet casings in the dark and in the rain. I'm sure that's, what a great job that must be. We do it every night here in Chicago. Do it multiple places. What do you think the job is, the bullet casing looker? He must be the forensic assistant, I'm guessing.
Okay.
Joel, we got you?
Yeah, it's not me. It's not me at the controls here. I don't know if you heard. I said...
Just throwing me right under the bus.
Cover from the cubbies are going down there?
I don't know. You know, Jay-Z is very sensitive. She says you just threw her under the bus.
I'm sorry, Jay-Z. It was my fault. I can always blame it on my producer, Spencer. It's Spencer's fault.
Make believe she's your wife. It's your fault.
I heard a very interesting statistic about the Cubs.
Oh, good.
I heard that in 40 games this year, they scored one run or less. Is that possible in Wrigley Field?
That is incorrect.
I think if I took the Benzinga crew over there, we could probably do better than that. Are they really 40 games, one run or less?
No, that is incorrect.
Okay. Are you sure?
Yes.
Why? Was it 41?
39.
That is unbelievable.
You know what's even
that
more bizarre?
Production.
There's only one team in baseball worse.
Tigers?
That was the Baltimore Orioles. They had 40 games, so that's where you got the 40. And they lost 105 games. The Cubs were right behind them with 39, which is unconscionable, and they won 95. Can you figure that out?
Man, you guys must have had one heck of a pitching staff. I'm not following it that closely, but
they had a series.
No run support.
They had a series with Pittsburgh. You know, you can tell me I'm wrong on this one. I think they scored two runs and they won two out of three, or something bizarre like that.
Wow!
They pitched two shutouts. They pitched two shutouts and lost the other one like 4-0 or something. So Pittsburgh outscored them, you know, like 5-2 and lost two games.
The Bears are still looking good. The Bears.
Not Bears.
Bears are looking good.
Yeah. New Orleans. So, boy, the cream is rolling. You know, wait a minute. Before I say that, I was going to say the cream is rolling to the top, and yet the Bills won again. Detroit is. Nobody wants to touch them at home, but on the road, they're like the sad sacks, right?
Yeah. They're. I don't know. The NFL is just so up and down. I got knocked out early of the suicide pool with took Minnesota. They went down to Buffalo at home, and so that really. And I don't do the fantasy stuff because all I do would pick Michigan players. You know, that's the only thing I would do. So I don't do the fantasy stuff. But we got some volatility in the market, Chief.
By the way, don't feel bad about the Minnesota game at the local haunt. The Tripoli Tap, I'm not involved in this stuff, but evidently they have a survivor pool where they got like a couple hundred people in it. After the Minnesota game, was that the second game of the year? There were seven people.
Third.
Okay,
yeah,
they
third.
Were, yep. there were seven people left out of the 200. They were thinking of starting it over.
Yeah.
I mean, the other one was you guys, it was either people, because it's a Boston bar. So most of the people had picked, Minnesota. And the rest of them had picked
Patriots
over Detroit.
Yeah.
And they both lost that weekend.
Very tough, man. It's very tough. But we'll see. We got a big game on Saturday. We got the Badgers coming in. I can't believe the spread. They got Michigan laying 7. And, man, oh, man. I'll just say, if you've been betting against Jim Harbaugh in Michigan the last couple years, you're probably doing pretty good. But I don't know. I mean, 7. I would never give 7. I'd be happy if we win by a whisker. But I guess Vegas thinks we're gearing up. We got a tough gauntlet coming up. We have Wisconsin at home, and then State on the road. Though they're completely falling apart, and then we got Penn State at home. So you know, all the Harbaugh haters, here's the opportunity to pile on or see if Michigan finally has got a team going.
Well, I think what you got going with the Wisconsin is, and again, my the couple old guys used to do this at Tripoli. I don't see much anymore. They were madmen for looking at all these injury reports and stuff, Joel, and would use those.
Oh, correct.
And would use those not for the game, but to pick the over-under. And I think over a period of years, they were pretty successful. I
hear they got a depleted. I hear their secondary is not very good.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying.
Doing a little research, and I mean, if Patterson is, can get on a roll. I mean, the only thing is the first half of that Notre Dame game. I mean, we played absolutely horrible. You know, that horrible got down behind, got really behind, and a couple of the other games they kind of got off to a slow start. So, important game coming up for the Wolverines.
Well, I think if I was better at this, I'm surely not giving betting advice. I don't give trading advice. I think my guys. The Wisconsin, I was reading actually yesterday in the Trib, it's not who you play, it's when you play them. And Wisconsin has really got injuries this week. Again, and they're not season ending either. It's just a bad week for them, injury wise. And Michigan has an opportunity, shall we say, and it's probably why it's 7. But if the guys are on defense, like you say, my guys would probably take, well, not only what the number is, they would probably be inclined to take the over.
My dad's golden rule was never give more than 7, because, you got a 12-point lead with 18 seconds to go, and they're in prevent defense, and they give up a touchdown. So I never give more than 7.
Your dad would agree. When I went to first or second time I went to Vegas, Joel, and I'm not going to say what year that was, but it was a while ago, there was a big article in the Vegas paper. Of course, I'm reading it at 2:30 in the morning as we're having a sandwich after gambling all night, and it was about betting sports. And he goes, don't ever be like 30 points or 25. He goes, you're not betting anything. All you're betting on is if the coach is going to run it up with the third team. It has nothing. Pick a game that's close. Pick the team you think is going to win and bet it. Like, okay. Which makes sense, I guess.
Anyway. Real quickly, I was talking to a buddy. We were talking about wagering. We were talking about the spread, and he told me the last time that he wagered, it was 23 years ago. He was out in Vegas, and he was playing blackjack, and he got dealt two aces, right?
Yeah.
He split them, and he got two more aces.
I hope he split them again.
He split them again.
Some places don't let you do that, though, by the way.
He got two blackjacks, so he had 21, and then he got like a 10, two 10s. So he had 21, two 21s, two 20. The dealer has like a three showing, all right? And then gets a queen, and then boom, flips over, has an 8, 21.
Wow.
He pushes, and then he lost on the 20, and he said, I'm done. If I'm going to lose on something like that, so that's... That's my gambling
story.
Seventeen and a quarter, Chief. We better hold yesterday's low. That was down 66. That's a big number in the spoos. 28.66, and to get back kind of north, this market's got to get back over 29.
By the way, Joel, if you might as well be correct on our gambling as well. If you split aces and you get a face card, it's not a blackjack. It's just 21. You don't get 1.5 times.
Okay, well, that's 21.
Yeah.
21 is 21.
Yeah, if the other guy flipped over a 21, he lost on 2 and pushed on 2.
Exactly. Yep.
So it wasn't his night.
Nope, not at all. So, all right, we'll talk to you soon.
Okay, man, take care. S&P futures, we're still down. God, we're still down 16 points or 17 now. We'll be right back, Mr. Kenny Pulcheri. Hello, this is Tom Howe, the Chief. Markets close to all-time highs, interest rates close to all-time lows. Investors are nervous, no return on cash balances, may have some invested a little too much for comfort, some not invested at all, earning very little. The market itself seems nervous. Experts say you should protect yourself. Experts say you should never sell. Experts say to get out right now, yet they are all experts. Then again, they do not know you or your situation. There are also some strange things going on at brokerage and investment advisor firms. Some solid clients and even some diligent brokers and investment advisors are being tossed out. Not big enough, don't charge enough, whatever the reason. This may leave you in a place where there literally is no one knowledgeable left to talk to if needed. PTI Securities and Futures is still here. Either here at our Chicago home office or in Arizona with John Neal, we still believe in servicing clients and providing a home for the right brokers or investment advisors the old-fashioned way. We are competitive, but we're also available to help. The last few years have seen a straight-up market without the need of a lot of investment help. What about this year or next year? If things change in the markets, do you really think you are ready? We also have a long history of designing and managing portfolios for people just like you. Might be good for you to check us out at PTISecurities.com. That's PTISecurities.com.
Are you one of the millions of people who suffer with pain? Do you wake up in the morning with stiffness in the lower back or neck? Why are you using medication to cover up the symptoms without treating the actual cause? Painkillers, muscle relaxants, and anti-inflammatories are not the answer. At ChiroMed, physicians are trained to detect the cause of your symptoms and to correct the underlying problem. If you're ready to listen to common sense and do what it takes to make changes in your body that can affect your health for the rest of your life, give ChiroMed a call and set up a complimentary consultation. They are located in Orland Park and can be reached at 708-403-2727. 20,000 patients over 22 years have been treated at ChiroMed, and over 90% of them have had positive results without medication or expensive surgery. Isn't it time you did something good for your body too? Give ChiroMed a call. 708-403-2727. That's 708-403-2727. Let's get you pain-free and living again.
Hello, I'm David Andelman, founder and president of DAX Research, a registered commodity trading advisor. I'm also a wealth manager with PTI and a frequent contributor to the Stocks and Jocks radio show. For more than 30 years, professional traders at the CME, including four past CME presidents, have chosen DAX Research to help guide their trading. That same research is available to you. We are offering three research newsletters: the Daily News, our Daily Stock and Futures Trading Recommendations, and our twice-weekly top three tiers of recommended stocks. Each of these reports are available via email. To benefit from the same research professionals have used for more than three decades, call me and get 2 weeks free with a one-month subscription, or you may also call me for a free portfolio analysis to see how we can work together to build your future. I'm David Andelman, president of DAX Research. Call toll-free 1-800-821-4968. Stock and futures have risk of loss and are not suitable for everyone.
Interested in promoting your business to a high-end audience comprised of entrepreneurs, traders, executives, and the everyday business person? Consider advertising on Stocks and Jocks. With devout listenership covering the Chicago market, along with a vast online presence, advertising on Stocks and Jocks may be just what it takes to put your business over the top. For more information, contact me, Matt Weber, at matt@stocksandjocks.net. That's matt@stocksandjocks.net.
Stocks, Jocks.
Stocks and Jocks.
Stocks and Jocks.
You are out of control.
Right here, right now. Right here, right now.
Hello, everyone. Back to Stocks and Jocks. I'm Tom Ali, Mr. Kenny Polcari, Jay-Z on the board. SP Futures down 1650. We've been down. I've been leaking since we got in. We were almost at yesterday's lows. I don't know if we're going to hold yesterday's lows. I hope we do. I don't know exactly where the big comeback came yesterday, but it did. Mr. Kenny, how are you?
I'm good. You got to speak into the mic because I can hardly hear you.
I blame Jay-Z.
I'm good. How are you?
All right.
Futures are getting a little bit weaker from when I came in this morning at 6, and now that they were down 13, now they're down 15. You know, markets around the world continue to be under pressure as everyone contemplates, you know, the rising yields and the U.S.-China trade war and rising rates and earnings and all the stuff that we've been talking about for weeks and weeks now. And so a little bit it's coming to kind of fruition. There's been some, you know, some technical damage done to the Russell. I mean, the Russell's through 1-2. It's testing its long-term support level right now. The Nasdaq, we've seen what's happened to that, but I think a lot of that is because, not because tech is going away or tech is losing its role as leadership, but look, people get nervous, people get maybe a little bit more cautious. So what do? A lot of the money in tech is not really sticky money, it's momentum money, right? Everyone jumps on the bandwagon because Amazon keeps going higher every day, and so does Apple, and so does Netflix, and so they jump on in a momentum trade, and the minute anyone gets a little bit nervous, they all run for the door at the same time. It's this ridiculous herd mentality. Creates an opportunity, though, for the long-term buyer, because, you know, when you see some of these stocks backing off 5%, 6%, 7%, it makes sense as the long-term buyer. Meanwhile, the Momo guys, you know, the momentum guys, you know, they jump right out because, you know, the tide changes or the wind changes. And so a lot of that money is not sticky because I think a lot of people are concerned. Oh, my God, look at tech. Listen, you have to look at tech because it was up 18%, you know, going into October when the rest of the market was up 9%. And so when people get nervous, they use it bing, bing, bing as an ATM machine, which is exactly what they're doing. So I wouldn't necessarily get overly worked up about tech either falling out of leadership or just being the end of the world. I don't think it's the end of the world at all.
If you'd have bought Amazon at 2020 and it's at 1848,
If you bought it at 2020, it's at 1848. You're absolutely right. But if you bought it at 2020 as a momentum guy, you know, which a lot of them probably did, then they're jumping right out. But if you bought it at 2020 because you're a long-term investor, is that really the first time you bought it? And if it is, okay, so take advantage and buy it down here at 1820. Buy a little bit more down here. Buy, you know, if you're a long-term investor, you're gonna work yourself into it anyway. You don't just buy it once and then leave it. It's kind of a position you build as you see opportunity, and I see it as an opportunity.
I would agree with you most of the time, which is actually bad radio, Kenny. But this I got to push a little bit here. It's a lot of your chums and the various and sundry. Kenny's on CNBC. If everybody doesn't know, does a great job. And I always have to critique him when he's on and send him a little email, most, which I'm sure he loves to get. But there's a lot of stuff happening here, I'm going to say that I was right with you on the 2 months ago. The China thing would be in a distant rearview mirror by the time of the election. Now it looks like it's getting worse, not better. I still think they're going to try and wrap it up, but my confidence level is down below 50%. Let's put it that way. It was 90. I don't think, Kenny, to be honest with you, anybody under the age of 40 really has it in their blood what it means to companies that are all hope and prayer. When I say all hope and prayer, not in terms of development and stuff, but in terms of you getting money, the cost to wait for Jeff Bezos to send you a check at 3.25 versus 1.5 or 1.8 in a 10-year is dramatically different. And I just don't think you can explain it to people who haven't felt it. It's like you can't explain rain to somebody till you get wet in it. It just,
right.
You know.
Right, and so they'll get wet in it, and then they'll begin to understand it. Because you might be right. If they don't understand it, they're gonna understand it pretty soon.
Yeah.
You know, they'll understand kind of the change. And actually, I put it in my note this morning. Look, if the market's going to back off because it's concerned about valuations, here's the deal. And we're going to find out now starting on Friday when J.P. Morgan comes out, right? Investors are really going to look at top-line revenue growth. If top-line revenue growth continues to grow, right, along with earnings, so then therefore valuation should be justifiable. But if you get failure in top-line revenue growth, then therefore valuations are going to have to adjust, and so therefore the market's going to have to reprice. Reprice means that, you know, prices market will trade lower. I think the market's reacting a little bit in front of a little bit of nervousness. But listen, all projections, facts that have revenues growing at I think 9% or something, and earnings growing at almost 20%. And so, if that's the case, I think there's going to be this nervousness that we're feeling is not necessarily going to be justified. I think there's going to be a lot of opportunity as we go along, and you can start to see it. Right, financials have all of a sudden raised their head. They were under pressure in the last 3 or 4 days. All of a sudden, they've turned. Consumer staples have all of a sudden turned. Energy. Doing nicely, right? So those are names you're going to want to see. I think tech, and I think the money that's coming out of tech is moving into some of those sectors that maybe came under pressure, maybe under some undue pressure, and I think you're going to see this stabilization. Doesn't necessarily mean the market's going to rocket to new highs, but I don't also think it's going to collapse.
Yeah, and you think, and I could be wrong on this, I mean, I don't know if you somewhat agree, I never thought that the market was as strong, or the economy was as strong as people say it is. I mean, at the low end, yeah, there's pickup of a lot of people in the low end wage jobs and so forth. But there's a lot of stuff. But in the last couple of months, an awful lot of people went into that dreaded column in labor force, like 200,000 people out of the blue, which shouldn't happen in an economy that's growing like everybody says it is. But certainly the people in Washington say it is. My concern is it's not fast enough for everybody to be okay. It's the tide that only hits a couple of boats. Like you talk about the energy, and by the way, I rode with that XLE, you know, probably like an idiot last year. Well, not like an idiot, because we had puts on it, so we didn't do, when it went all the way down to 64 or whatever, and oil was basically on its ass. I mean, I stuck with it, because we had puts, made some money on the puts, and, you know, whatever. So we didn't lose as much as we, you know, probably should have. And now it's way up. You know, we've made all that money back and then some. And so it's been fine for us. But I get this nagging feeling, though, Kenny, that as the prices go up at the pump, and the prices go up in this natural gas with this 20% move, which I can't fathom, hopefully you'll tell me where that came from, it comes out of somebody's pocket, and it's the money they're not going to spend somewhere else. I don't see the person being able to absorb the gas price increase and still buy as much at the restaurant or at the food store or at the clothing store.
And so I agree with you, and so that is also one of the top-line concerns. And again, I put that in my note, right, the price of energy and the price of oil. And if oil goes to $100 a barrel, which is where the Saudis really want it to go to, come on, who's kidding who? That, you know, they've been talking it up, jawboning it up, that's exactly where they want it to go. And by all accounts, it's probably going to get somewhere into the 90s by year-end, I would imagine. And so that's right. And so that's also going to be a tipping point, right? At what point is it really going to start to impact? And then at what point are rates really going to start to impact? Is it 3.5%? Is it 3.25%? Is it 4% that's really going to cause kind of this readjustment in psyche, right? In investor psyche. So, I guess we're going to see. But even so, if earnings, you know, if the broader market continues or the broader economy continues to do well and top line revenue growth is what it is and guidance continues to be positive, then that puts a footing under the market, right? If all of a sudden that all changes and guidance becomes weak and all of a sudden people don't know what they're doing and they're scratching their head and they're going, oh my God, then I think that, you know, they take the floor out and then the market, has a test lower. But I think my sense is, and we're going to find out starting on Friday, you know, what that forward guidance is, what those revenues look like, what the top line looks like, what the bottom line looks like, and you're going to get a better sense. So, I'm more optimistic.
Well, I hope you're right. By the way,
I hope I'm right too.
The thing, Kenny, is that we're still having a lot of mergers, especially in the healthcare industry.
Yep.
So we had five companies that did a lot of the Medicare stuff, and now we're going to have four, right?
Yeah.
Now the problem is that the one that bought the other one next year, they're gonna report revenue up 25%, but it's not real.
Yep.
It's not real. They just bought another company.
That's correct. But I think, yes, I think that's true. But then I think what happens is analysts and strategists, they point that out, right?
Well,
just what you said
yeah.
is true, and even though it looks like it's up 25%, the fact is there was a merger there.
Yeah.
And so that all gets explained away. And if you're an investor and you're paying attention, then you also understand that. And I don't think you get drawn into, oh, my God, look at this, earnings up 25%. I think you realize why they're up 25%. And so, therefore, I think that you take that into account.
We only have a couple minutes, or not maybe a minute, but what did you read on these banks? I mean, I love to do these these earnings plays. I don't have a clue this week.
Here's what I think is going to happen. Notice what's happened the last couple of quarters with banks. You know, they come out with good numbers and they sell the banks off each time. You know, they haven't really rallied them on the back of the good numbers. They sell them off each time. And I'm curious if they're going to do the same this time, because financials as a group have been under pressure. They're honestly flat on the year. So if they come out once again with good earnings and good guidance, I'm wondering if this time it's going to be different, if there in fact is going to be, you know, buy the news event. Like where it's always been kind of buy the rumor, sell the news when it comes out. I'm curious if we see. My guess is I think we're going to see the banks do all right. I don't think it's going to be a sell the news event this quarter round. Again, I could be wrong, but I'm kind of.
Well, if you're in the XLF this year, it's a clunker.
Yeah, right, exactly. It's a clunker, right?
Yeah.
The banks, I mean, that's flat on the year, basically, right? I mean,
yeah.
Maybe it's up 1%, but. But I think you're going to see a turnaround in leadership. And we need financials to lead. And
I would agree.
You're going to start to see that.
All right, Kenny, we'll talk to you next week. We'll talk all about the banks. Have a good weekend, buddy. Have a good weekend. S&P Futures down 17. NASDAQ Futures down 47. Be right back.
Is your business being challenged by the complexities surrounding healthcare reform or other matters related to human resources management? If so, then Cognos HR can help. A longtime friend and contributor to the Stocks and Jocks radio program, Cognos HR provides its clients with a perfect blend of strategic consulting and day-to-day HR management to drive overall improvement in business performance. Companies that join the Cognos HR family are better able to manage healthcare costs, enhance benefit offerings, and improve employee satisfaction by leveraging our access to Fortune 500 benefits. Our innovative onboarding and payroll technology, along with our constant attention to detail, enables us to provide the highest level of quality service to our clients. Now, your time and energy can be focused on generating business and increasing your bottom line. We'll take care of the rest. For more information, call us at 630-401-8810 or search us on the web at CognosHR.com. Cognos HR, innovation in human resources. Licensed in Illinois and Arizona.
Hello, this is Tom Howell, the Chief. We've talked a lot on the show about risk and suitability, about how your portfolio should match your age, income, and risk appetite. It's been hard for investors to maintain that suitability in the last several years due to a Fed strategy that has driven interest rates to virtually zero. You may have even heard that the Fed was trying to drive conservative investors to a riskier portfolio on purpose, for whatever reason. I'm sure you're aware of investors that took some increased risk, such as longer-term fixed-income securities, and are now unhappy with that choice. At PTI, we've always stressed total portfolio risk awareness and tried to minimize chasing returns in a tough environment. Well, now it looks like maybe interest rates are moving more towards historical levels. Everyone needs to be aware of what that continued movement might do to your portfolio, both good and bad. We also have a stock market that seems to have stalled, at least for the short term. I think it's time for everyone to take a serious look at their goals, their risks, and their portfolios. Do they match? If not, we can help. We have a signature protected index program. We have ways to hedge against interest risk. We can make that portfolio right for you again. Go to PTISecurities.com or call us right now. The market can change very rapidly. That's PTISecurities.com.
Hi, this is John Neal from PTI Securities and Futures and a frequent contributor to the Stocks and Jocks radio program, as well as the branch manager of our Peoria, Arizona location. I hope you, like many of our listeners, have benefited from the outstanding market returns of the last several years. But have you recently become unsettled due to the worldwide geopolitical uncertainty, the increased volatility of commodities and currencies, or the looming Federal Reserve interest rate hikes? If you have answered yes to any of these questions, we can help you. Here at PTI, we offer a unique variety of income-producing securities as well as our proprietary hedging program to protect your assets. More information about these exciting programs and much more can be obtained from our website at PTISecurities.com, or feel free to email me at john@PTISecurities.com. That's JOHN@PTISecurities.com.
This self-directed trading is a lonely job. Online trading is not as easy as point and click.
No, it's not. Everyone, even professionals, need to share ideas and think out loud every now and then.
That's what I like about PTI Pro Direct. Their staff of former option floor traders really helps me choose the right strategy for trading option volatility and plan the time decay for my covered writing program.
Yep, nothing can replace years of trading experience to stop you from making that dumb trade and for saving a few bucks. We've all been there and done that.
Yeah, I have access to all that great trading advice and experience for just a penny a share for stocks, $1 for equity options, and $1 minimum a trade.
Our clients at PTI ProDirect can call when they need a little help on a trade or just to talk about the market in general. We trade every day. We love this stuff.
That's what I like most about PTI ProDirect. Cheap prices, along with great advice from real floor traders. It's the best of both worlds.
Tell your friends. That's PTIProDirect.com, PTIProDirect.com.
Hear ye, hear ye! The Homer Broadcasting System is on the air!
Stocks, jocks,
Stocks and Jocks.
Stocks and Jocks.
You are out of control!
Right here, right now, right here, right now, right now.
Welcome to Stocks and Jacks. I'm Tim Howe. Mr. Carl Denninger, Jay-Z on the board. SP Futures down 17. Dow Futures down 145. 10-year yield 3.24. So that's creeping up a little bit. Carl, how are you?
I'm doing. I am.
You're there somewhere.
Yes, I am.
I always have things that I want to talk to you, and then all of a sudden something happens. I just saw something on TV, which is enough to make anybody in my industries hair curl up on the back of his neck if he has any. Your buddy, how do you pronounce the name? Preet Bharara?
Yep.
Is now going to lead an insider trading task force because the laws have not kept up with the crooks. Now I'm watching CNBC, where Kenny and my friend Dr. J and Pete are all on. And how the hell can somebody from a national news service or whatever the hell they are, How could they say that just the way they said it? First of all, correct me if I'm wrong, because you're the maven. I'm going to say there is not one insider trading law passed by Congress. Not one. Never has been.
I don't know that I'd necessarily agree with that. The Exchange Act.
It gives power to the SEC, and there's been a lot of case law, there's been people who have gone to jail. But there is absolutely no strict thing that the Congress came out with that this is insider trading, who can do it, who can't. There's no law like that that's ever been actually debated and popped out from Congress.
No, not in that exact form. However, the Exchange Act does say that any device used to manipulate or otherwise tamper with the markets is illegal. And that was passed after, of course, a crash in 29. But, I mean, it doesn't call out and say, well, if you're a director and you possess material inside information, then, you know, that's against the law. Go to jail.
Right. But my point is, now, Preet is going to come out in there. Now, the people that are going to be exempted are all the congressional staffers. We're never going to put anybody from the Fed in jail for letting their speech out early. Every congressman can do it. I'm not going to cast any aspersions, but I'm going to say I think this White House is dirty as all get out and everything they put out. It always seems like the spoons move before I hear about it. If you exempt all these people and you exempt anybody that ever went to a boarding school, who's left? Just people that aren't white and people from out of the country? And what's their name?
Yeah.
I mean, who's left? I mean, what's the name? Who's the cook?
Oh, which one?
No, the lady who went to jail instead of getting spanked. What was her name?
Martha Stewart.
Yeah,
she went to, but of course, remember now, she went to jail for lying to the FBI. She didn't go to jail for insider trading.
But, I mean, what are the chances of somebody walking into the White House and saying, it seems like an awful lot of trading came out of this one before the last tweet, and those guys aren't going to lie to the FBI? I mean, once you start talking to people.
Zero. And let's not forget that, this is hardly a Trump-focused thing.
No,
during
God,
Obama's
no.
presidency, there were dozens of people. And in fact, it was Congress actually did pass a law that essentially said, well, you know, we can't do this anymore, sort of kind of pinky swear during Obama's second term. And that was due to the fact that it was exposed that they and their staffers were blatantly trading in front of the bailouts.
Well, but didn't that get repealed?
Well, for all intents and purposes, all stuff's gone since Trump came in. But the point being, they've been doing this forever.
Well, but you know what? I'll say this, though, Carl. It's changed. I mean, fortunately for my clients and for my livelihood, I do it. But unfortunately, I have to watch this bleep. I'm going to say in the Obama era, all the front running came out of the Fed. You know, you'd see, we'd have two or three down days, and one of the Fed guys would go over to China and give some speech in the middle of the night, and the spoons would be down 12, and I'd walk in the morning, and they're up 25 or something, or 20.
Right.
Mostly everything that had to do to move the market had to do with a Fed announcement. And now that's pretty much all gone. It's all tariff versus non-tariff. We're gonna do these tariffs, and then the market will be down, and all of a sudden you'll see, what's his name? One of the old farts. The guy from CNBC. This economic advisor guy. Goldilocks.
Oh, Leisman?
No, Goldilocks economy guy. He's now works for Trump. Larry Kudlow.
Larry Kudlow. Yeah. Hello.
All right. So you throw him out on the Rose Garden at 2 p.m. saying, "Oh, that's not what we want to do," and we spin around and go the other way. That's been the market movers in the last 2 years. It's not been the Fed. It's changed. And it's
well, that's true. But I think you need to be a little careful pointing at the Trump administration specifically on this. I mean, remember 2009. Okay, in the spring of 2009, March to be specific, the market was essentially falling apart and had been for a year at that point. And yet, all of a sudden, out of the middle of nowhere, Congress turns around and tells FASB that it cannot enforce the rules for GAAP accounting having to do with valuing assets, and that if they don't do what Congress has told them to do, that they're going to legislate a change in GAAP accounting. Okay, so basically what Congress did was turned around and said, you shall lie about the value of these assets, and if you don't, we're going to make it the law that you must lie.
Right.
And literally on that day, the market bottomed. Right, and if anyone believes for a minute that the staffers and the congresspeople that were in that room were not wrong the market 15 minutes before that was done, you're out of your mind.
Oh, yeah. Well, I guess here's where I'm trying. I'm getting a lot of letters from my listeners and, from girlfriends. Again, who else? I only have one, but... it's not what you say, it's what people hear, Carl. I'm trying to be real specific here. Is what I'm saying is the place is a cesspool of cheaters, okay? My point is wherever the market moving information's coming from, be it Congress that you say, be it the Fed for a bunch of times, and now it really is coming out of the White House. Wherever it's coming from, somebody somewhere finds a way to front run it, is what I'm saying.
Oh, sure. No, this is, it's the oldest game in the book, right? I mean, what is the easiest way to win in any sort of contest? And the answer is cheat.
Well, as my mother used to say, one peak is worth two good finesses in bridge, right?
Yeah, exactly.
I mean, but then why they keep coming out and coming after other people? I mean, do you remember the story about the two schmucks in, how's that for a South Side term? In Wisconsin, they were found guilty because they were in the press where Business Week came out, and they were able to read Business Week the day before it came out. There isn't a person that's ever traded, Carl, anywhere, whoever thought that Business Week was a market mover. And somehow these guys were trading, and they were down money, and they still took money from the guys. Those poor bastards versus the guys in Washington that they got the thing in their hot little hand. I mean, it's scary.
One of the more obvious ones is every time we have a jobs report, boy, there isn't any trading going on that number before it's released, right?
You know what? I'm not being cantankerous this morning, but did you read the report about, I would have said this for a long time, Carl, that you could give me the jobs numbers and I can't trade them. I mean, I'd be wrong as much as I'm right. You give me a copy of a Fed speech for the last 5 years, and I'm a rich man. I mean, now all of a sudden it's a tariff announcement, or, you know, we're talking to China, we're not talking to China. Those are all spinning spoos 10, 15, 20 points every time that comes out. So it has to do sort of with the time, but there was a group that, these guys are from, you probably know this, were they from Hong Kong or someplace? They did a huge study on front running of U.S. Announcements. And they found that the Fed stuff was front run like every single time. And they claimed that the Bureau of Labor Statistics, the numbers that come out once a month, were very rarely front run. That they couldn't find any front running on that.
Well, I think the issue there is just, you know, it depends on what particular area you're in, what reliably moves the market in what sort of way. Because, you know, like I said, I mean, now, you know, the last 3 or 4 years, yeah, I agree with you on the jobs number. On the other hand, you know, you go back to 2006,
oh, God, yeah.
2007,
yeah.
Or for that matter, when I was running my internet company, it was, boy, if you wanted an edge, that was one of the places to get it.
Yep, yep.
And, you know, now it's changed. Now it's other things.
What, speaking of jobs number, what'd you make of the one last Friday? By the way, hope your ears were burning. You were all over the air, with that people heading back into this, not in the workforce column. What is all that about?
Well, you know, that's the biggest problem that I have with what we're seeing right now, is that when I look at this, this is kind of an issue. But on the other hand, last month's numbers were sort of a snapback from August's on the household report. If you remember last month, they said, you know, where's this neg 1.465 million on the employed figure, which is an absolutely enormous spike for August. August normally is a firing month because the seasonal help gets fired that you had for, you know, all the amusement parks and stuff, right? And you'd think that would get picked up in September, but it doesn't. It almost always shows up in August. But it was a huge number from a historical point of view. In fact, I couldn't find a larger one for an August going back to my data set. And the non-labor force number went way up, too, by about 2 million. Last month, non-labor force was only up 175,000. And the household number had a 652 plus figure.
Where are you getting those numbers?
That's a normal snapback.
Now, where are you getting those numbers? I saw last month, I'm sure looking at this A1 household data thing. Last month it had the not in labor force number. It went up, like you said, but it didn't go up as much as you said. It went up about, I got it up like 700,000. You got to double that. I've got it from 95,598. 96,290. Are you looking someplace different? I'm in the wrong spot.
I use the unadjusted, not seasonally adjusted number.
Okay, so I'm using the...
You're using the seasonally adjusted ones, which everybody loves to do. The problem with that is September is always September, so why do I need them if I'm going off the, you know, year over year?
All right, I got a quick question. This is an all-encompassing one, I think. I'm taking decades here. And by the way, if you run off the one... That goes back to 1947. You really need an Eye of an Eagle to read the damn thing. I'm looking at like between 1980. I'll just be gross with the numbers. From really 1947 to 2001, even though we went from 59 million people to 143 in the labor force, we only went up from 42 to 71. So we went up like 30 million in this not in labor force. And since 2001, we're up another 25. I mean, what is the last 12 years has caused that? I mean, some of it, I think, is probably demographics, some people retiring. But that number is ballooning, Carl. I mean, I don't see how we solve a lot of problems unless we knock that number down 10 or 20 million.
You can't. And see, here's the thing, is that there's generational things you have to, which make trying to look at, like, the post-war era difficult, because in the middle of that, up until 2000, you of course had the feminism revolution and women going to work, where prior to that, the times that women went to work en masse was when we were making tanks and planes and we were sending all the boys over to go shoot somebody, or more to frequently get shot.
Yep.
And so we needed somebody to build the planes, and that happened to be girls, okay, because they weren't going to get shot. Since that time, that's changed. So there was a shift there. But the not in labor force number is, in, as I've said, employment population ratio, not labor force participation rate, but employment population ratio from a standpoint of the size of our government and the social programs we have is destiny. And we have destroyed that over the last, 20, 30 years. And the thing is, what people don't understand with this is 1% is an utterly enormous number of people, and yet today we're standing at 60.5, and in 1999, in October, we were at 64.5. Okay,
that's,
so
that's a tremendous
that
amount of
4
people.
Percentage points is an utterly monstrous number, and you actually get hurt twice by it. First off, those people are not paying any taxes that are not in that number, okay? That's the first problem. The second problem is they're sucking off the tax base. So not only are you, it's kind of like when you say, well, what happened with the Kavanaugh confirmation, you had two senators that paired their votes, right, so they don't count?
Yeah.
And same thing when you go to the polls. You vote Democrat, I vote Republican, we cancel each other. But if you were going to vote Democrat and you vote Republican, the shift is two votes, not one.
Right.
And so the same thing's going on here with this. And so the change in these figures is actually twice the magnitude of what it looks like when you first look at the percentages. Because it's not just that they're not paying any taxes, it's that those people are taking money out of the government.
Well, I mean, I'm going to one up you. I'm going to say it's three problems, Carl. So if 10 people are all working, okay, they're all working, they're all paying taxes. If one person drops out, now he's not only not paying taxes, although if he's got investments and so forth, he's still paying taxes on those. And since I'm not going to accuse you of being a 1%er, Carl, but in this country, you still pay 2/3 of your taxes even if you're not working, because the state and the local is 2/3 of what you pay, right? So,
right.
But let's just count on the other. You're not paying taxes, and now there's 9 people. Somebody out of that 9, they also got to cover you, at least to some extent. Well, if one more person drops off, not only now you got 2 people not paying taxes, which is what you're saying, 2 people on the dole, which is what you're saying, but now the other 8 somehow got to pay 20% more to count for you. So it's really a three-edged sword.
That's where the problem is.
I mean, you see it, Carl. I'm in Illinois, so probably people who listen outside Illinois think, God, his chief guy is nuts. But the phenomenon here, there's been my significant other does a lot of real estate. Somehow or another, she's got these places way south now, Carl, which are, let's just say, when the city has been emptied out, intentionally or not intentionally, a lot of the people that were emptied into the south suburbs, which have seen this massive change in demographics over the last 35 years. You can only imagine what I'm talking about. Now, some of those places, with the demise of, I'm not going to say Amazon had a huge advantage not paying taxes, blah, 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 but they did. So, but they're also very innovative. People like getting stuff delivered. I'm not going to criticize. I'm just going to state the facts as I see them. But the little sidelights to this, there's a big mall out there that just went under. Well, okay, the mall had, regular property, paid property taxes. I'm going to say they paid list, Carl. And all of a sudden, they're gone. Well, these houses now got sprinkled with essentially this tax base. I'm not blaming Amazon. I'm just stating what I see is happening. So Audrey is selling a 3-flat for $96,000, fully remodeled. So you can imagine the neighborhood where it's going $96,000. And the taxes are going to be something like $9,500. It's going to be 3 times the mortgage. So when you say the people aren't paying taxes, I mean, the fact is, in a lot of areas of the country, Florida maybe not one of them, but you are being, to say that an immigrant an illegal immigrant in Chicago doesn't pay any taxes is about as ignorant a comment as anybody can. The guy's paying 11 cents, 11.5% every time he buys a Coke, every time he either pays rent or moves into some place or owns a place. I mean, he's paying through the nose. I mean, there's nowhere the guy can go without, he's paying state tax, if whatever the number is. He's paying payroll taxes. I mean, the thought of the idea that they're not paying taxes is so lily white Washington 1%. I can't even, you know, I can't even go down that road. Or that's just me. I mean, you can disagree if you want, but
the thing is that you have to, you know, you kind of have to separate this out, okay? Because of course they're paying state and local taxes, and you know, I'm dealing with this right now because I'm dealing with an estate cleanup at the moment with my family.
Oh, sorry to hear that.
And
but they're also paying payroll taxes.
You know, it wasn't a surprise, but the property taxes. On, holy smokes!
Yeah.
I mean, thank God I don't live in the North anymore. I just look at this, and now, of course, I have a full picture of it. And I have, you know, some friends of mine that are like, well, you know, maybe, you know, look at it, buying this place and, you know, living in it. And they don't have a lot of income, but, you know, but the house, the price of the house would be fairly reasonable. And I said, you know, before you do that, you ought to think about what the monthly nut is just to keep it.
Yeah, it's unreal. The insurance,
and when you look at it, they go, oh, my good Lord,
yeah.
You know, I mean, it's impossible.
I'm going to say that a huge percentage of the people in the southwest suburbs, especially anybody who's lived in their house for, if you bought it at 2007, 2008, Carl, you still got a hefty mortgage probably because you paid up for the darn thing. But if you bought it in 2000, I'm going to say that your taxes are now higher than your mortgage, virtually every place.
Yeah.
But, I mean, even you talk about payroll taxes. You know, the payroll taxes are damn near as high as income tax revenue. In this country, income tax revenue is $1.6 trillion. Payroll taxes are $1.2 trillion. So,
right.
You know, I mean, it's, but what if we wouldn't start, you know, we figure out a way to not spend 2-3 weeks fighting about a Supreme Court guy. What are the little things that can happen to turn this bus around, Carl? Kevin, I don't know if you listen when Kevin's on. He's absolutely convinced you got to start really at the local level, and I agree with him. I mean, if for instance we put a few more, we haven't had any new locks and dams in the Illinois River since 1935. Even though these guys pay every time they fill up the thing with diesel, they're paying a tax. Where the money goes, God only knows, Carl. I hope it's going to you, but it sure doesn't go back to the river. But if you did, I think that some small thing. You know, one of the guys I took a barge tour. He said they estimate for each lock and dam, it's 1.5 million hours of carpentry work alone, let alone concrete work and steel work. Now, I would say that if you're going to start it next July, have some training camps for classes in the local high schools. Get people, you know, and say, okay, come July, if you take these classes and you pass, guess what? You're a carpenter. And we don't think of anything like that outside the box. And I don't see any of that happening to you. I mean, maybe on a small scale, but we just fight about God knows what. And seems to me we could get 300 people working that maybe aren't working now. They never even thought they could be a carpenter or something, or a steel guy, whatever the hell works in those places. Concrete guy. I mean, does anybody even think like that?
No, and we should, but the problem is the local stuff and doing things like that. I mean, I've long been screaming about the fact that when I was in junior high, we had a shop class, right? And you learned how to turn wood on a lathe, how to run a metal lathe, how to weld. By the time I got out of middle school, okay, I could lay a bead. I'm not really any good at it, but I can do it. If I need to weld something, I know how to do it. You know, it doesn't make me qualified to weld oil pipelines, but by any stretch of the imagination. But you give me another, you know, 6 weeks or 12 weeks worth of, you know, of effort on top of what I already know, and maybe I am. Today, the kids come to school, and you hand them a stick welder, and they say, what the devil is this? Where do I stick this end, right?
Yeah. Literally,
idea what they're doing.
Where do I stick this? Is a good I like that. Go ahead.
Well, I mean, yeah, but it's just one of those things. It's like, what kind of insanity do we have where the entire left-hand side of the bell curve, and let's face it, half the people are there, have no gainful employment other than pulling coffees at Starbucks? That's nuts. And yet that's where we are. But in terms of the actual fiscal realities, there is only one place that we can attack this, and that's in the medical system, And it's just because that's where the money's being spent at the federal level. If we don't get that under control and stop it, it's going to destroy the country, and it's going to happen within the next 5 to 10 years.
All right, when the midst of, real quick, I don't want to interrupt, but when Maddie Weber, all his guys got pretty much laid off. They were out of college a couple of years when I first met him when they were working at the score, and they all got laid off, and I said, hey, how many guys you got? And he goes, like, three. I said, okay, if I hustle, I'll bet I can get us, in the next 5 weeks, I can get three or four houses to paint, and I'll teach you guys how to do it, I'll buy the stuff, and let's go make some dough. Oh, we don't want to do that. We don't know how to paint.
Yeah.
Anyway, I did that in high school the whole time in college. I mean, if there was a house to paint, I went and painted it. I mean, anyway, go ahead. I'm sorry to interrupt, but you're right. There's no... Why would you ask me to do something like that? Well, because you're broke sitting on the sofa. That's why.
Well, exactly. I mean, how about because I'd like to put some gas in my car?
Yeah.
I mean, how hard is this to figure out? What I look at, though, when I look at it at a macro level, the state and local stuff is all tied into the medical problem, too. You look at the Illinois pension problems, for example, just to take one. Your state is going to collapse if this is not addressed. And by the way, while Florida is in considerably better shape, and I get into it all the time with the libertarians around here, oh, you know, Florida's fine. I said, no, it's not. You look at the growth rate, and hey, that you're 5 years behind Illinois is not, that is not considered a good thing. It just means that they die first.
Kyle, did Florida, right? Florida,
so don't get into that mode because it's a bad model. I said, you know, the truth is, this is where the problem lies, and we either stop it completely, not just, you know, no band-aids. We tear the band-aid off this thing and we fix it. Well, this country is screwed.
Carl, you feel like hanging for another five, or you got to go?
No, I'm good.
How about we'll go after break? We'll go 10. We'll ask John Neal to push off 10 minutes because we just will. Well, how about you come back after break? We'll finish that thought. SP Futures down 15. Dow Futures down 138. Be right back. Stocks and Jacks. Hello, this is Tom Howell, the Chief. Markets close to all-time highs, interest rates close to all-time lows. Investors are nervous, no return on cash balances, may have some invested a little too much for comfort, some not invested at all, earning very little. The market itself seems nervous. Experts say you should protect yourself. Experts say you should never sell. Experts say to get out right now, yet they are all experts. Then again, they do not know you or your situation. There are also some strange things going on at brokerage and investment advisor firms. Some solid clients and even some diligent brokers and investment advisors are being tossed out. Not big enough, don't charge enough, whatever the reason. This may leave you in a place where there literally is no one knowledgeable left to talk to if needed. PTI Securities and Futures is still here. Either here at our Chicago home office or in Arizona with Jan Neal, we still believe in servicing clients and providing a home for the right brokers or investment advisors the old-fashioned way. We are competitive, but we're also available to help. The last few years have seen a straight-up market without the need of a lot of investment help. What about this year or next year? If things change in the markets, do you really think you are ready? We also have a long history of designing and managing portfolios for people just like you. Might be good for you to check us out at PTISecurities.com. That's PTISecurities.com.
Hi, I'm Audrey Johnson, an owner of Home Source Realty and a frequent contributor to Stocks and Jocks. If you're nervous about the stock market and considering diversification, or are looking for a rate of return way better than your banks, consider adding rental properties to your portfolio. Whether it's a condo, single family, or multi-unit building, I can help you select a property that meets your financial needs. Call or text me at 708-349-3456. That's 708-349-3456, or visit my website at myhomesourcerealty.com. That's myhomesourcerealty.com.
Hello, this is Tom Howell, the Chief. Confused about investing these days? I suspect you are not alone. Investing was never easy, although at times it may have seemed so. I think one reason behind the current concern, although maybe not explained as such, is how the fluctuation in the American dollar and the associated politics is affecting your investments and your wealth. It may not be enough to make some money in your investments. You may need now to make enough to exceed the amount that your leadership is depreciating the value of the dollars you've worked your whole life to accumulate. That same leadership has seen fit to maneuver risk-free interest rates to near zero. Providing positive risk-averse returns in a zero-interest and declining real wealth environment is by far the toughest assignment I've ever had in my years as a money manager. I'm sure that a lot of you have heard that one way to possibly deal with this problem is to invest in so-called hard currencies like silver and gold, the idea being that they will retain their relative value in the face of devaluation of paper currencies like the dollar. To be honest, I have never been a gold bug. I've always had faith that having enough dollars and a good investment strategy was good enough. Now I'm not so sure. But I do know that if I did invest in gold or silver, I'd want to do it in the same manner as we do with PTI for investments in the market, with defined risk. If you feel the need to invest in gold or silver, we can do it using the same strategies that we use for our protected index program. No matter what you invest in, we feel that you need to know and control your risk. Find us at PTISecurities.com. That's PTISecurities.com.
This self-directed trading is a lonely job. Online trading is not as easy as point and click.
No, it's not. Everyone, even professionals, need to share ideas and think out loud every now and then.
That's what I like about PTI ProDirect. Their staff of former option floor traders really helps me choose the right strategy for trading option volatility and plan the time decay for my covered writing program.
Yep, nothing can replace years of trading experience to stop you from making that dumb trade and for saving a few bucks. We've all been there and done that.
Yeah, I have access to all that great trading advice and experience for just a penny a share for stocks, $1 for equity options, and $1 minimum a trade.
Our clients at PTI ProDirect can call when they need a little help on a trade or just to talk about the market in general. We trade every day. We love this stuff.
That's what I like most about PTI ProDirect. Cheap prices along with great advice from real floor traders. It's the best of both worlds.
Tell your friends. That's PTIProDirect.com, PTIProDirect.com.
Stocks, jocks.
Stocks and jocks.
Stocks and jocks.
You are out of control.
Right here, right now, right here.
Hello, my face, Tyson Jackson. I'm Tomas, GTZ in the boardroom. Mr. Carl Denninger hanging in. We'll have a Jan Neal in a few minutes as well. SP Futures now down 1275. We come back a little bit. We're down as much as 17, or maybe a little lower. Dow down 108. NASDAQ down 33. Like I said, that's good news. Oil up 47 cents. 10-year yield 3.235. As they've reopened and bonds were closed yesterday. The cash bonds were futures traded. Over in Europe, we've got, DAX down 96 points now. It's leaked down further since the last time we reported. It's 0.8%. FTSE down 45.6. CAC around down 31.6. We're in Asia, a little bit of a mixed bag, but it's kind of a tricky number. Nikkei down 314. That's a 1.3%. Shanghai actually up a little bit. Now, these guys were down almost 4% yesterday. So this is kind of a little bit of a dead cat bounce because they were closed like the last few days of last week. Hang Seng down 29, 0.1%. And we have West Texas up 47 cents, Brent up 66. Natural gas, and I've yet to find anybody who can tell me what story is here, 3.33%, 3.33, again, up like 60 cents in the last month or so. Gold is up $1.50, and silver up, I'm going to say, almost a penny. Jay-Z, when you get off the phone, please do traffic, weather, sports. Are you there?
Yep, I'm here.
All right.
Good morning, everyone. The time is now 7:35. Chicago weather is mostly clear this morning, high of 83, low 69. Phoenix has sunny skies all day, high 80, low 59.
We're warmer than Phoenix?
Guess so.
Yeah.
I don't know. We had this weird heat wave right now, and it's October.
Yep.
I mean, I'm not opposing to it, though. I'm not opposed. I've been enjoying it.
There you go.
One score to report today, which is the Bulls, who lost to the Hornets, ending the game 110-104. In traffic, we've got a disabled vehicle on Lakeshore Drive at Fullerton blocking the right lane. Accident blocking the left lane on the Edens going west before Peterson Avenue. And that is all to report. Back to you.
John, you with us?
Now he is.
You with us, John?
Yes, I am.
All right, we got Carl for a bit longer, but please listen in and pipe in. Carl, you mentioned something before the break. Illinois, when you talked about the medical part being a part of the pension stuff, the Rahm father did something amazingly, I'll just say amazingly. When he first came into office, he gave early retirement to any policeman who was 55. And he picked up the hospitalization between the 55 and 65, which has got to be as big a part of the issue now, almost at least for that 10 years, as the pension itself. I got to believe. Did Florida or Jan? Did Arizona? Have you guys done any the same sort of, I'm going to say, total bleep ups? I mean, where you let people off early and you pay them the hospitalization?
Oh yeah, no, we do it here.
Go ahead, Carl. I mean, Carl, go ahead.
We do it here, and it's terrible.
What do they pay for? I mean, it's got to be somewhat of a Cadillac policy, I would guess. I mean, you're not going to give somebody a crummy policy if you're with the city or state.
Well, not only is it Cadillac, it's even worse. We have a medical center in this general area that is known for charging people three times the rate of another one that's 20 miles south. And the only reason they get away with it is nobody has gone after them under antitrust. And the way that they got able to do that was by buying up all the local practices.
Antitrust, is there antitrust now still? Where is that?
gee, it doesn't seem, you know, I don't recall anyone ever repealing that law, but boy, you can't find anybody that's willing to prosecute anybody under it. Now, can you?
Lou claims it's been superseded by regulation in most everybody's minds.
Sorry, that's not how it works. That's, you know, statutes are statutes, ladies and gentlemen. If you want to actually repeal them, you have to repeal them, and it has not happened.
Okay, so now there's two people in this country to feel that way, you and me. John, you with us?
Yes, I am.
Right, there's three. How are we doing with this one? We're not going to win the state of Rhode Island Electoral College with that, three votes. Just saying. But, I mean, the medical profession is absolutely convinced it doesn't apply to them.
Well, you know what? They tried that twice all the way up to the Supreme Court, and they lost both times. So I think we can put that one to rest.
Except they still do whatever they feel like doing.
Well, of course, because nobody goes to jail. When was the last large business executive that went to jail? That would be Lay and Evers, right?
The guys from Enron are just getting out.
Well, that's Lay, right? But yeah. Evers died before they could actually jail him, but they did convict him.
Oh, who was Sonny Boy? That wasn't Lay Evers. What was his name? Who was the guy who ran Enron? Do you have the glasses way here?
Skilling.
No. Skilling just got out. He's in the halfway house. He's a brother of the weatherman here in Chicago. yeah, Jeff Skilling. Tom Skilling's the weather guy here in Chicago.
I didn't know that. Okay.
But he's just got in the halfway house. What was his? Kenny Boy something. Ken, I've got him. I don't think he's dead. I'm convinced he's not dead.
Well, no. Evers was MCI's chairman.
Okay. Talking about Enron's chairman, allegedly the heart attack.
Yeah, and he died before they convicted him, but before he actually went to prison, he died.
Well, so did Kenny, whatever his name. Jan, you don't remember his name? Ken, he had a heart attack after he got convicted before he went to jail. So he was on appeal, so evidently the conviction is scrubbed, right?
Right, conviction doesn't count if you don't actually make it to jail before you die.
Well, in the appeal, too, right?
Yeah, wasn't he the one that hired Jimmy Buffett to play his wife's birthday party, too?
So, well, whatever you got to do, I guess.
With Enron's money.
Oh, absolutely. It's always right. Somebody else's money.
Let me preface it with that.
All right, Kyle, before we let you go, what is your read? I was talking to Kenny earlier, and I'll get John's after you're gone. I was in the 90% camp. That before the election, they were going to declare victory on China. We'd get a spike up in the market, and it would probably carry the Republicans into keeping at least the Senate. Now I'm wondering, this battle's getting worse. I'd be really surprised if they could wrap this up in 4 weeks, this China thing.
I don't think they're going to wrap it up in 4 years. The problem is China does not have an alternative in terms of being able to back down on this because their entire economy is a fraud-laced mess. And now the latest thing is that the exporters are gaming the code system that for the classifications of products, right? So they're claiming that that sharpening equipment are grindstones and things like this. You know, it's basically how can we cheat today? But that's been China's model for the last 20 years. What makes anyone think that if you've been ripping people off for 20 years, you're suddenly going to say, "Oh, I'll just stop doing that. It's all okay." Really?
Well, when are we going to do something, if we really care about this stuff, which I think we do, when are we going to say it's against the law for Boeing to send them the stuff? We're not going to put...
Well, there's that, too. Yeah.
I mean, right now, for a long period of time, I'm not saying they stopped, Carl, for a long period of time, they stole the intellectual rights. I mean, obviously, they stole all the Beatle albums and all that stuff. But now, I think companies are giving it to them. In return for business, who should go to the jail on that? Us or them?
I think there's a little of both. Yeah. I mean, the problem you have with all of this is that is it really a gift in exchange for business? If somebody's got a gun to your head, if I put a gun in your mouth and say, "Give me all your money," did you really give it to me?
Well, I mean, the Boeing didn't have to. Boeing's got so much business, Colonel. It's not like they have to sell planes to China. I mean, they're backed up, 6 years in their 737 line? I mean,
that's true.
I mean, how much money do you need? They can't very well tell me that they had to give them the plans of 787 to just to survive. I mean, who'd believe that?
Right. Right. No, I'm with you on that. I don't see any sort of short-term answer to this, because you've got an economy that has basically been built on theft and fraud. And tell me how you fix that in the short term. I don't think you do.
Well, I would think, and we'll have to let you go, Kyle, that in the White House, without casting any political pearls out there, I'm going to say that they would much rather have a 2.5% up move in the market between now and election, preferably the last week, than a 5% down move. And that discussion, I'm not the only one thinking of that. I can't believe.
Oh, true, but look, it didn't work out so good in 08, did it?
No, but
just saying.
Well, I'm saying, but we never had a guy who basically says the entire stock market is a report card for his largesse. I mean,
that's true.
I mean, nobody. I don't know if anybody said half the things this guy says, but still. Anyway, Kyle, we'll have you on soon, bud, because we'll talk more about this medical stuff. And God knows, the issues just keep on coming. You take care of yourself, buddy. Thank you.
Thanks.
Jan, sorry to push you back a little bit, but Kyle's always interesting, and I figured you might want to listen in.
No. It's very interesting, and just to kind of add on to what you were saying there, Tom, I'll be surprised in the next couple weeks if they don't try to push through some positive news or make some positive news. Every time we... have these moves down, they find some way to, I know I'm being a little cynical, but I think you know where I'm going with that.
Yeah, well, they find a way to put somebody out there and put the pot. But, we're in a world of 40-character or 50-character news. So if you see,
right.
If you can, turn things, if you see the market getting its ass kicked, if you could walk out and say, gee, you guys are misinterpreted this, and turn it around, I'm not so sure... Most people wouldn't do that,
Right.
Especially when you've told the whole world that the market is your cherry, basically. So did you think the people in South Carolina walked out one night and flipped off the big guy upstairs, or what? This hurricane, after it gets done clobbering Florida, is supposed to go right to Carolina and drop like another foot of rain there.
Yeah, I mean, that's just, I was watching, news this morning, just as people preparing and, they're re-preparing, I guess I should say, to be honest with you, Tom, and a lot of those places down there are out of supplies that people would need to once again board up and shore things up.
Well, there's some naval bases up there, too. I mean, you got to get the planes out of there. A couple of guys on the trading floor used to be in the Navy. One guy was on a pretty big ship. One guy was on a destroyer. And he says if a hurricane's coming, the last thing you do is stay in port. You go out and you ride it out.
Right.
And,
exactly.
He said that duty was pretty bad. You're out in 30-foot seas. I mean, the ship is going to survive better out there than it is in port, but you might not.
They got one big base, I know, up,
Yeah, I think one of the carriers is based there. I'm not positive. It used to be when there were 16 carriers. Now there's only 10, so I don't know. I mean, maybe they don't anymore, but... you imagine being in a destroyer. You go out and ride this out for the next 24 hours through the 30-foot waves. That thing has to feel like a submarine out there, for God's sake.
Exactly. Well, even like all the history I read, World War II history, that where I first was reading about that kind of stuff. But pretty amazing, and this is all these poor people to get pounded on again. It's just. Mind-boggling. You think, once is enough forever, to be honest with you, let alone,
Well, it's kind of a long way. It's at the panhandle. It's been a long time since the panhandle got whacked, but still, it's never long enough, John. I don't know what the economy is up there, but Audrey went and stayed with one of her friends on the shore up there, and there's houses, pretty close to the beach, and, those things are like, some of them are on stilts, so you got a little bit of room, but you're not ready for a 10-foot tidal surge. I mean, those things are going down.
Right.
And, I don't know if I'd want to be in the insurance. Of course, they find a way to really not... I've not read... Have you read any of the stats about Carolina, how much the damage was versus covered versus non-covered? I'm going to bet it's 75% non-covered.
Yeah, I know there was a lot, that was uncovered there. I don't know the percentage of first one happened, I remember them talking about it.
Well, I mean, it had to be, way past whatever 100-year storm the government uses to do the floodplains. I mean, a lot of those people couldn't have been in a floodplain.
Right.
Are you guys, how far off a dry wash in Arizona is there's a floodplain? Probably not very far.
No, but I got to tell you, they're pretty good with that out here. They have these, I think we talked about this the other day, they have these really deep, you know, canals,
yeah.
You know, for the runoff here, and they're, you know, public parks, you know, when they're not being used for that, and a few times a year that they're needed. But you'll get areas that just can't, you know, push that water off fast enough, and they'll you know, flood a bit, and I mean, nothing like this 4 and 5 feet, but, you know, you've had some areas out here that had, you know, a foot or two, you know, in their house, that kind of thing.
Well, I was looking in Chicago, the biggest weather events in the last, you know, since they've recorded history here. And I think the biggest one is like 11 inches of rain in a 3-day period or something. You know,
right.
You know what if you got 24? I mean, I got to believe all the old maps are no good. I mean, that would just be, you know, what would you even do with that? Anyway,
because whatever current system you have is not going to keep up. You know, so until that happens, you don't know what's going to happen. That's the problem.
We've got big Friday morning. I mean, this week is a little slow in terms of news. There's always news coming out of Washington, but and obviously the news is that these rates going up, which they continue to do, although seemingly slower. I mean, we're only up a little bit today. Friday morning, we've already had the earnings season start a little bit, but we're hardly anything today or tomorrow. No companies I was interested in. Obviously, I usually do positions in these banks. You know what, Jan? I don't know whether to lead them to the upside, downside, or what. I'm going to look and see what the volatility is. If there's enough of a skew, I'll do something. But I'm not sure. You know, I don't know about these guys. Everybody keeps saying these interest rates going up helps them. I'm not so sure it does. I mean, I seem to recall when way ago when interest rates were 12%, the banks were pretty much flat on their ass. So it's not like it goes forever that way. Now, is 3% better than 1% for a bank? Probably. You know, but how much? I don't know. I mean, have any of you guys started paying interest out there? Some of the smaller banks here have.
No, it's so nominal. It's still nominal here. I haven't seen any signs up for anything of significance.
We got some people here paying 1.5, maybe even a little more. Maybe, I mean, if you leave it for a little bit of while, you get 2. Have you had any... We've had
1.5 in a savings account.
Checking.
Okay. Oh wow! Really? Okay.
Have you had any of your clients? Jan is a PTI West. That don't know. He's in. You're in Glendale, branch of PTIs. We've had a few people here. I've had a couple of people, and Dan's had a few that have put some money in T bills recently. They've got good size accounts, and just said, "Hey, what can you get me?" I think we got them, I don't know, 2.3, 2.4 or something, Jan, for, I'm going to say 6 months tops. I don't know if it was 3 months or six. Might have been six. And they said, you know what, market may be down a little bit in there, and I'll pull it out and I'll buy some stock. You know, these are guys with a lot of cash, but, we go to the auction and get it, and rather than try and buy it in the open market, you have to pay the spread. So we'll go right to the auction. There's an auction, is every Thursday, Jan? Thursday, right? For the bills?
Thursday.
Yeah, and... So we put the order in the day before and we do that for people. But, then you'll hear on TV that we're nowhere near the price that people will, get out of stocks and get into short term. That's ridiculous, man. Some people, the number's 2.5. Some people it's 2.6. Somebody's 2.7. I'm not talking about all your money. If a guy is a $10 million account here, he's got $8 million of it in stocks. He may decide to see the other 200. Just say, you know what, I'll put it in T bills for 6 months. He might do that.
Yeah, it's called an allocation.
Yeah, it's, he might. I mean, he's not anxious to. He's not anxious to lock it up for 10 years at 3.25, and I don't blame him. But he's also not willing to pile it back into some stacks right here. Do you have anybody? The ETF that you trade that has the heavier dose of the fangs. See, Amazon down $200. Has to be taking a chunk out of that thing.
Yeah, it has. I've moved out of that ETF probably month and a half ago.
So there's a couple, not the ones you mentioned, but a couple little ones that I'm playing with more towards the biotech versus the technology. But there's a few little things in there that I'm individually playing versus the ETF right now. And I think I got out of actually a pretty good time, to be honest with you.
Well,
I mean, bang is what I mean.
If you look at this, I'm no chartist, but if you look at this chart of Amazon, it is... It bottomed out right about this number. It blipped over 1900, came back down to this right about this area. Okay, it's at 1855 this morning, down 93 cents. Then shot up over 2000, back down to this area again, like a couple of weeks ago. Shot back up over 2000. Now it's right back down here again, and I'm going to say that this particular line better hold. I mean, I'm not a chart dude. My guess is it probably will, but it is really I've never seen. Well, I shouldn't even be talking about something like this. Instead of David should be doing it, not me, because he knows what he's talking about. But this looks really weird. I don't know if you've got it up there on your machine, but it's almost symmetrical up to 2050, back down here up to 2050, back down here. I mean, it's one of those where if we keep going, people will say, well, clearly that was a double top. Who the hell knows when it's happening, right? But you can always go back and say you should have known. That part's easy.
Once you have all the answers, you should have known. But I mean, you mentioned some ones like the Amazon and the Google. I'll look for another place to the emphasis there is to possibly get involved again. A couple little ones like that, but in very small doses for my folks here.
Yeah, I know. It's the thing of it is, started the year at 1100. Now, granted, their earnings are going to be a lot better this year than last year. So there's reasons for the stock to be, quote, up, right? But if you start, if its long-term rate continues to move, these guys, they don't make that much. They're fighting it a little bit. Now, same thing with Facebook. I don't think that's coming back to you up the world.
No, I have very little interest in that. Like I was saying, but I have in the last, maybe 3-4 weeks ago, added to that to the biotech, the IBB a little bit. That's moved up a little further.
That's been a great buy. The biotech is you and David really know that stuff a lot better than I do. I mean, look at this QQQ tapped out at like 188. It's trading 179, so it's 5% in the last 2 weeks. So, I mean, in some of these areas, we've had a correction. The Dow, not so much. Matter of fact, Dow's probably, within 1 or 2% of its all-time high. But these other guys have had, a little bit of correction. And I'm saying somewhere in here, I probably would rather, if I was going to fling money at tech, I'm going to say I would probably go more towards a QQQ than I would an individual stock. But that's just me. If I were to pick a bottom here.
Right.
What do you think with the big comeback yesterday? If we were down a boatload, if we close under yesterday's lows, is that a big deal or not? I always have to seem like I ask more of a technical guy than me. Is it because all of a sudden that's a big wasted bounce? I don't think.
If it happens on the technicals, I would agree with that. But we break through one way or the other, and that's where you get your change, Tom. So we'll just see.
We've had some people that were long as TBT, which is the, I don't know if I'd put anybody else in it. I probably wouldn't because I don't really like these all that much. The TBT is double short bonds.
Right.
And we get clobbered in that thing forever. We've made a big comeback in there. It's back from 32 to 41. And we made some money on the puts on the way down and so forth, but that thing makes it back to 45, and we get flush in there, Jen. I don't know. I think I might be. I think this Fowry thinks we get to 3.4 on the 10-year, and then we pause. I was thinking maybe 3.5, but I don't see us running right to 4 or 4.5 to you. I really don't. I mean, we could. I mean, I was involved in when interest rates went up in the early 80s, and boy, once they started going up, you wanted to get out of the way. It was like they were driving a truck, but I mean, you literally had to get out of the way. They took no prisoners. I don't see that happening again, but then again, I didn't see it last time either.
No, and I agree with you there with that sentiment. I just don't see that happening right now.
But, I mean, you don't...
And I agree with your assessment, 3-4 or so is just about right.
Well, I guess the only thing is, the last time I didn't think it was going to happen, and it did. So it's like, I mean, it's sort of like you never know. Remember, what, Field of Dreams? He's already got two balls, so he's probably not going to throw it at you, but be careful he doesn't stick it in your ear type of thing. You know.
Well, let me be cynical again. I don't think they're going to let it. There's my cynicism coming across.
Well, you know,
if it wanted to.
I tell you what, though, Jan, is somebody who lived through it, and unfortunately, I'm older than you. If it's a short-term thing, the Fed can affect it. If it's inflationary fears, where somebody says, I'm not giving you money for 10 years at 3% when the inflation's 4, what am I, an idiot? If that's what happens, the Fed cannot help that at all. There's nothing they can do about those long-term rates and inflationary expectations. They're just going up. Because it has to do with you sitting there going, let me get this straight. Inflation rate's 8%, and you want to pay me 5. That means every year, you're going to give me $5 when my stuff is depreciated 8. I'm not going to do that. Then once that starts to happen, then you got a problem. I mean, and I'm not so sure that they're not too far away from some of that. It's not 10%, but I mean, anyway, S&P futures down 15, Dow futures down 125. Talk to you Friday, Jen, and we'll do our football picks. We'll be back tomorrow. Yeah. Stocks and Jacks.
I guess we learned not to do it again.
Stocks and Jocks is brought to you by PTI Securities and Futures. Go to ptisecurities.com. PTI Pro Direct. Trade for as low as a penny per share and a dollar per option contract. Learn more at ptiprodirect.com. Nadex, offering an intuitive way to trade the financial markets. Visit nadex.com. Home Source Realty. Call Audrey Johnson at 708-349-3456. Hamzy Analytics. Listen to Fari Hamzy every other Thursday and visit HamzyAnalytics.com. ChiroMed. Back or neck pain? Schedule a complimentary consultation by calling 708-403-2727. DAX Research. Tune in for David Andelman's technical analysis on Mondays and Thursdays and call 1-800-821-4968.